learning tonight, this week, Sif Beis, the second and final Sif in the Siman of Anil HaPipa Harara. This Sif is basically a Tosus in Kedushin, a small passage, about eight lines in Tosus in Kedushin. Nevertheless, these eight lines have been disassembled, reassembled, deconstructed by Gedolei Achronim, all kinds of important Kedushei Din, Chalukim and Halacha, which are relevant to the specific case in the Shulchan Aruch, as well as many other cases in Anil HaPipa Harara, emerge from the dissection of this Tosus. So tonight, I just want to discuss briefly the Tosus and go through the major opinions in the Achronim of how to understand this Tosus. The Tosus discusses various aspects of the sugya of Anil HaPipa Harara, notably the Machlokes between Tam and Rashi, whether it applies to Hefker and unique situations in general. And all the way at the end of Tosus, Tosus adds the eight lines in question. Tosus says, Mikan nirer l'maharav Yitzchak, the Ri, from here, from somewhere, the Ri infers, She'oster l'malamed l'haskir atma l'balabayis, she'esh l'malamed achar b'beiso, called mancha malamed b'beiso. A malamed is not allowed to try to take the place of another malamed who's already in the house of the employer. Tosus reiterates this beiso thing twice. Yeshlo Malamed Achar Bebeso, Kolzman Shemlamed Bebeso, emphasizes this. He said, let him go somewhere else and get a job somewhere else. Unless the Balabai says, I don't want him, I'm firing him anyway, I'm in the market again. However, Tosus says, a Balabai who hires a Malamed, another Balabai in that case, is allowed to go away and steal away the Malamed from the first Balabai. Here he does not say to them anything about the Malamed already being in the bias or not, doesn't get into that point. Why can he do this? Name alay, ain't ritoni el lozet. I want this particular guy, Shereki Medumali, Shazay Yilmar Bini, Yafim Lamed Acher. He's the best one for my son. Lamed were not all created equal. I want this guy because he's the most apt, the most fit for my son. So the Achronim basically have three problems with this Tosus. First, what is Mikan Nira exactly? Mikan from where? What is the connection of this to anything Tosus previously said? Does Mikan Nira just mean from the Gemara? Could be. You know, we were always taught in Yeshiva back in Chavetz Chaim that when Tosus has multiple points, we generally assume there's some connection between them, not just that each point just refers back to the Gemara. There should be some, Mikan should be something Tosus said earlier. What exactly did Tosus say earlier that yields the Mikan? Mikan from where? Second issue is this issue of the Beso. When Tosus talks about one Malamed trying to steal the place of another Malamed, Tosus says he shouldn't do that because the first Malamed is already Bebeso. As we noted, he says that twice. What is that all about? Throughout Anim HaPipa Harara, we saw, the Ramah says, the Mordechai says, it's totally on Pisuk Damim, it's only after they reach an agreement. But what is Bebeso? Where does that condition come from? Why does Tosus make a big deal out of that? Thirdly, this is not necessarily a kasha, just a point that the Achronim debate. When it comes to the triangle of a two Balabatim and a Malamed, Tosus says, they're allowed to compete because the Malamed is unique. The Achronim explained this is based on Rabbeinu Tam Shita, that Dover Shel Hefker or anything that's unique. There's no Anim HaPipa, so the Malamed is unique. Each Balabayas can say, I need him for my kid because there's no one else who's as good for my kid as him. So what about the reverse? In the first case of Tosus, where there are two Malamedim competing for one job, there Tosus doesn't mention any such far that each one could say, I want this situation because it's unique. Is there indeed a difference between the variation among Lamdim and variation among kids or variation among employers? Is that the distinction? Is there some other distinction in play here? What exactly is the difference between where the rivals are two Malamdim fighting for one kid spot, one Balabaya spot, or when the rivals are two Balabatim, two kids fighting for one Malamid? What exactly is the difference? So among the early Achronim, 16th century, 17th century, we find four or five different discussions in the Achronim, some overlap between them, but four or five approaches to how to understand this Tosus. The first two, Svardim from the late 16th century, the Marit and the Atmos Yosef. The main question they deal with is, what is this business about with Beso? The Atmos Yosef says that ordinary Anim HaPipa is only Nikra Rasha, but we're not Ma'akev. Beis Din does not enforce it. Beis Din does not stop her from doing it. We call him a Rasha, but that's it. That's the extent of our pressure we put. But when it's Bebeso, when he's not only a Ma'akev, when he already has him inside his house, then we escalate. Then it's beyond Rasha. It's actually Usur. I'm not sure why Usur is a more serious term than Rasha. Rasha also, some poskim say, is Usur, but Achmas Yosef says, Rabbi Yosef ibn Ezra that ordinary Ani Mahapech is just Rasha, and we're not Ma'akev. If he's Bebeso, then he goes beyond being a Rasha, and we actually are Ma'akev. Now, the Marashdam, we may have mentioned in an earlier Chabura, the Marashdam actually says that any Ani Mahapech, we are Ma'akev L'chatchila. Although when it comes to Bedi'eved, the consensus in the Poskim is that once, like in the case of Rav Gidl and Rav Abba, once he already sees the field, Shelo Kedin, by mistake, or he was a Rasha, we don't actually force him to give it back. I mean, if Tam holds, even then we do. Most Poskim disagree and say that once a person has done it, we don't force him to cough it up. However, the Marashdam, and this seems to be accepted by many other Poskim, the Knesset Gdola, the Divrei Gaonim, Zchar Lavram, bunch of Akronim all go with this Marashdam that L'chatchila, we certainly stop them from being a Rasha. Marashdam says, do we allow people to be Rishonim? Of course not. Bedi'eved is not an actionable claim, but certainly Beis Din will step in to stop him from being a Rasha. So I don't know. Datmas Yosef seems to be rejecting this. Datmas Yosef says that he seems to imply that we're only Ma'akev when it's Bebeso, but when you're an ordinary garden variety, Mahapech, Bacharara, it's only Rasha, we won't even be Ma'akev. Any event, that is how Datmas Yosef learns the Tosis. What is the Mikan exactly? Where do you see this from the Tosis or from the Sugya? He says, a Mikan is sort of an analogy. If you see that by regular Ani Mahapech, you're called a Rasha, so we go up one level. We say if you're worse than a Mahapech, if he's actually Bebeso, then you're worse than a Rasha, and it becomes actually Ma'akvin. It doesn't seem like a compelling inference, but Tosis was willing to, B'shik Ladas, Tosis was willing to exercise his judgment and arrive at that conclusion. One other important point in Atmos Yosef is he takes for granted that this whole discussion, even if he's Bebeso, he says, that's only true when there is no Kenyan, when they haven't actually formalized, made a Kenyan, that the Melamed is committing himself, the Baal Bais is committing himself to the Melamed. Once they've made a Kenyan, same point the Nesivos makes, the Nesivos HaMishpah makes, once there's a Kenyan, then there's nothing to talk about, then you have no right to infringe on the rights of the people who already committed themselves to this deal. And this is very similar to what we saw in Ramosha also previously. Ramosha talks about stealing away a shidduch, stealing away a woman someone else is interested in. Ramosha says that before the engagement you can, after the engagement you cannot. And even though before the engagement, one of his heterim is that she's like Hefker because she's unique, then I can't just find another one somewhere else, I want her. Nevertheless, after there's an engagement, Ramosha says even if the Kenyan itself is not binding because it's a Kenyan Dvarim, technical problems with the Kenyan, but there's a Cherem, which Ramosha explains has similar effects to that of a Kenyan. Once the Halacha clearly marks that they are each other, they're entitled to each other's faithfulness, they're entitled to each other going through with the deal, at that point, there's no Ani Mahapech. Ramosha has an elaborate explanation of why, because he says Ani Mahapech is only when we're both equal. You want it, I want it, you were first, you're the first mover, but I'm second. Mashenkin, if you're entitled to it, al-pi halacha, either Zecherim or a Kenyan, then you're entitled and I should not be mixing in. So too, this is what the Nesivos, Nachmas Yosef, say here briefly. Once the parties have made a Kenyan, then no matter what, Rabbeinu Tam, Hefker, all the tainus in the world, there's no heter once there's a Kenyan, and that seems to be the consensus of the poskim. So that's the Nachmas Yosef. And he also points out, what is the distinction between two malamdim competing for one job versus two jobs competing for one malamid? So he says, what I think is the Pashup Shanatosis, which we alluded to before, malamdim are all unique, are presumptively unique. Each one has his unique talents, his unique affinity for children. He can be better than the other one for a specific kid. While the jobs are assumed to be more or less interchangeable. Okay, you won't get this job, you get a job somewhere else. You can't say this job is just the kind of job I want. This kid is the perfect kid for me. I can teach him the best. You don't say that. A father is entitled to say, this Malamed is unique, I want it for my son. A Malamed is not entitled to say, this kid is unique, I want him for my, I want to teach him more than anybody else.
What happens if he's paying outstanding wages more than everybody else?
So we discussed back when we learned from Ramah, the Ramah Paskins that when you buy something, if it's cheap, if it's bezol, that's like Metzia. The Shach brought that the Ramban disagrees with Machlokes Rishonim, but the Ramah Paskins, and I think most Paskins say the Ikar Ladina is that the something cheap is equivalent to something for free because it's unique. I can't find it anywhere else. So that the same thing would certainly apply to Malamed. If the guy was paying wages that were clearly well above the going rate, again, the Poskim over there say it. Cheap doesn't mean I can argue that there's a 3% advantage. Cheap means that it's clearly exceptionally cheap. Same thing would apply here. If he's clearly paying an unusually high wage, and there would be a hat to hair too. And that brings us to the, yeah.
I'm just wondering, so why can't the Asmus Yosef be learning that to Mikan? So we see the distinction between where it's unique and not.
Yes, and so the...
Why do you have to say this Mikan having...
The Nachlas Tzvi actually suggests, that's the Nachlas Tzvi, which I don't know if that was the part I highlighted, but the Nachlas Tzvi makes this point. He says, Tosis had two parts. He had the Chelek HaEsir, that the Malamdim shouldn't be competing for the job. Then he has the Chelek HaHeter, that the Balabatim are allowed to compete for the Malamim. So, Asmus Yosef and many other Akharim seem to assume that the Mikan is going on the first part, the Chelek HaEsir. Nachlas Tzvi suggests what you said, that the Mikan is going on the second part of Tosis, the Chelek HaHeter, that the reason the Malamdim are allowed to, the reason the Balabatim are allowed to compete for the same Malamid is because Malamdim are unique, which in turn is based on Rebbeinu Tam, that unique things are mutter, which again is Mikan, because the beginning of Tosis. Yes, that is a pshat that some Akharim say. That is a good point. This thing about the unique wages brings us to the Marit. The Marit understands that just as Malamdim are unique, job situations are also unique. That's not the distinction Tosis means to make. The distinction Tosis is making is another point that we discussed in earlier weeks. The Marit holds, as do many other poskim, including the Marik, and later Achronim, Sofer notably, but variation of this, but many Achronim say that the Heter of Rebbeinu Tam to take away Hefker that somebody else was Mahapech on is only, even though he was Mahapech, he didn't do what we call Tercha. The Achronim say that when you're Tereach, like Onim Nakif Rosh HaZayas, he climbed an olive tree to knock down olives, then once he made that special exertion, there's no longer a heter to take away his thing, even if he wasn't Kona. And even if it's Hefker, even Rebbeinu Tam does not apply in a case where the first person made special, unusual Tercha. And the Marit says that's why Tosus Asers won Malamed from stealing another Malamed job situation, because the first Malamed was already Terech and the kid, prepare him to build him up, make him ready to be taught, and therefore that's considered Tercha. Now, the problem with that is, first of all, it's difficult to know exactly what he means. What exactly did the Malamed do? If he taught him last year, I guess he prepared him for next year. What if it's the first year? He didn't do anything. He just told him what books to buy. Not always clear what the Marit just means, Balamatish, but additionally, this is what the Nachlas Tzvi struggles with at great length, is that many Acharonim discuss this doctrine of Tercha. It's not clear what kind of Tercha we mean. Every Yoni Mahapech had some level of Tercha. That's what the word Mahapech means. Tosis also uses the word Tarachba. That's why it's Asur. So every Yoni Mahapech has some level of Tercha, and still Rebbeinu Tam said if it's Hefker, it's Mutter. So the Acharonim struggle to define what the special Tercha of the olive tree is. We discussed earlier, some Acharonim say he risks his life to climb the tree. He was physically Tarech. He exerted himself, he was in a dangerous situation. So there are different definitions of what exactly Tercha means, but it's far from clear that an ordinary Malamed exhibited any of that exceptional level of Tercha. So that's why the Marit is a little bit problematic to know exactly what he means by the differences in the... by what he means that a Malamed is considered to have been Terech. A third approach to Tosis is found in the Pnei Yeshua. Pnei Yeshua has a very interesting idea, different from all the other Achronim. He says that we have the Gemara Le'achbar. When we learned Yari Lomnos about competition, when it's Asr, when it's Mutter, the Gemara made a special exception for teaching Torah. Even when Yari Lomnos is Mutter, the Gemara said, Kinasav from Tar B'Chachma, that because Chazal wanted to promote the study of Torah, they allowed competition among tutors, even in cases where normally Yari Lomnos, normally the incumbent would have protection against competition, still they were matir. So Talmud Torah is a special case. Says the Pnei Yeshua, that's why Tosis stresses the Malamed was Bebeso. The Achronim are asking, Asmus Yosef asks, everyone is asking, even if he's not Bebeso, it's regular Ani Mahapech. Says the Pnei Yeshua, it's not regular Ani Mahapech. Because since we're talking about teachers of Torah, the same way the Gemara Baba Basra said that but there's no issue in Yard Lomnus, similarly, there would be no issue in Ani Mahapech, specifically when it comes to teachers. Any other profession, yes, but teachers of Torah, not. That's why Tosis had to say Bebeso, because when it's Beso, then, because he's so close, he already's in his bias, then you shouldn't be trying to push him out. Now, Rav Moshe, a tshuva we saw a few weeks ago, seems to disagree. Rav Moshe had that tshuva about two rabbis, two people who were rivals for a position in a summer camp teaching Torah. So Rav Moshe, all the way to the end of the tshuva, I think that might have been the part that was cut off actually on the next page, but Rav Moshe in the tshuva says that there is actually a serious issue that the person who came in, even though it was in good faith, he said he has to withdraw in favor of the first guy. And he dismisses this idea of the Pnei Yeshua. He doesn't mention the Pnei Yeshua, but he says, don't tell me it's like that Gemara in Bava Basra that says that when it comes to teaching of Torah, we don't care, because it's Kenasar from Tabra Chachma. He says that just means you can compete, but you can't actually steal someone who is already Mahapech. Or Moshe takes for granted that that Gemara does not apply to Ani Mahapech. Over there, he was not Bebeso. He was simply, they were both involved in negotiations. Nobody was in anybody's bias. They would just engage in negotiations for the summer. Nevertheless, Ramosha says, Ani Mahapech does apply, and there's no heter just because it's teaching Torah, just because it's Kinasar from Tarba Chachma, there is no such heter. The Sefer HaMikna, that's the Haflah Sefer on Kedushin, also has an interesting idea. He points out, he discusses a crucial point, which I was discussing yesterday with people, that in all our discussions of Ani Mahapech, we're talking about the second guy coming in and snatching a deal away from the first guy. So right when we started, we discussed the question of whether that Isser also applies to the guy in the middle himself, the seller, the employer, when there are two malamdim fighting over a job, the employer, the seller. Is he bound by Ani Mahapech? Yes, no, we discussed different opinions. But there's another problem the post can say. Aside from Ani Mahapech, he can't just break your word, even if there's no kinyan. M'chusar Amana, a Jew is supposed to keep his word. If a Jew commits himself to a deal, he's not supposed to back out. There's an Isser. Going to some post can be a Pasala Edus. Going to some post can you're called a Rasha, even if there's no Kenyan, no Mishapara, no anything. Simply the fact that you're committed, that already creates a situation called Mechusar Amana, and you're not allowed to. So how do you have cases here of Malamed? If the Balabai has already promised the first Malamed a job, how is he allowed to back out? And how are you allowed to induce him to back out? The same way Ramosha said, you can't steal away the Shidduch because you're inducing the woman to break her Cherem. How can you induce the Balabai to break his promise and be called a Rasha? This is really a problem every time you have Pisik Damim. If there's no Pisik Damim, there's no Ani Mahapech. If there is Pisik Damim, what happened to Mechusar Amana? How could you induce him to break his word? So the Sefer Mikna says that's what Tosfos was trying to do by saying Bebeso. Tosfos found a case which is sort of Pisik Damim, but there's still no Mechusar Amana. How is that? Because he's already Bebeso, so he doesn't have. Last year he was in his house. This year there's a kind of tacit assumption he's going to continue, but it wasn't explicitly spoken out. So mitzad echad, there's no mechusar amana because he didn't have an explicit promise. Mitzad sheni, it's like pisak damim, because by inertia they're going to continue from last year unless something comes and rocks the boat. So that's enough to be called the equivalent of pisak damim without actually a problem of mechusar amana.